News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New job numbers could be what drives you markets today. The Labor Department says healthcare companies were hiring in February, as were banks. 151,000 jobs created in all. ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
We saw some strength in financial services, also in transportation and warehousing. We did lose 10,000 federal workers last month. But, you know, this report doesn't give us a full picture of the unemployment report. The data is collected mid-February.
And that's too early for the job cut announcements to really make a difference. Two Army soldiers and a veteran are in custody, accused in an espionage and bribery scandal. They're believed to have been trying to sell military secrets to China. Travel disruptions continuing in Paris after an unexploded bomb from World War II was found beneath the train tracks leading to France's busiest train station. We expect to get an update today on the deaths of Gene Hackman and his wife, whose bodies were found in their Santa Fe, New Mexico home last week. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. More federal offices across Wisconsin may be closing, targeted by the Department of Government Efficiency. The office led by billionaire Elon Musk had already released a list of at least six government offices to either be eliminated or reduced. Now there are 16 and five are in Madison. Musk's team is planning to close the Fish and Wildlife Service office, although the federal government was already planning to cancel the lease back in January. Also on the list, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration near Westtown Mall, something listed as Department Management IG, which may mean Office of the Inspector General, but it says those three words, square footage and a dollar amount, and that's it. An office of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Regent Street, and the Federal Highway Administration office on Junction Road. Other leases terminated statewide include offices for U.S. attorneys, the Social Security Administration, and the Internal Revenue Service. The largest office on the closure list is the Bureau of Indian Affairs location in Ashland. They employ at least 40 employees, and it's not clear whether they'd keep their jobs. The largest reduction in federal jobs could happen in the next month. Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska has more.
The Trump administration is planning on cutting tens of thousands of Veterans Administration jobs, according to multiple news reports. Currently, the VA employs about 470,000 people. The goal for the Trump administration is to get the VA back to pre-pandemic staffing of just under 400,000 workers. So about 70,000 employees would be let go. In addition, the Trump administration is planning to downsize the military's civilian workforce by about 5 to 8% of its nearly 950,000 employees.
According to federal data, there are about 11,000 federal VA workers in Wisconsin. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers blank the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers shut out the Oakland A's last night 10-0 in Cactus League action. Pat Murphy asked if the crew can make the playoffs again this year.
Of course we can. We have in the past, and we can again.
College basketball, Marquette getting ready to host number 6-ranked St. John's at Fiserv Forum tomorrow. The Badgers take on Penn State at noon tomorrow at the Kohl Center. The UWM Panthers losing at home to Oakland 72-64 in the Horizon League tournament, ending their season at 21-11. And Mason Crosby retiring today as a Packer. He only played for one other team, the Giants, after leaving Green Bay.
I'm so grateful for the Packers allowing me to let me retire and be done and be a Packer forever, because that's where my heart is. And I hope everybody knows that I did play three games one other place, but I will be a Green Bay Packer forever.
That's former Packers kicker Mason Crosby with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to the upper 30s to low 40s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop down into the low 20s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low to mid 40s, close to 50 by Sunday. We're talking highs near 60 by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells.
The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, can the House GOP use their mandate to pass a clean funding bill? And remember when Senator Rick Scott took the fifth 75 times when his company was fined $1.7 billion for Medicare fraud? He has new thoughts. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday, March 7th. Today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same as yesterday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same since yesterday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We have a jam-packed show coming your way today. Next hour, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor, will be joining us. Pete Schwabe from Nightlight with Pete Schwabe will be here at 11:33 to talk all things entertainment.
Specifically one thing, entertainment.
He's finally seen the Green and Gold movie. If you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know I have a minor issue. It's a plot flaw.
With the movie.
With the movie, not Pete Schwabe. There's a plot flaw in that movie, and I want to see if Pete actually picked up on it when he saw it. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Hot Stuff Edition, so stay tuned for that. As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off with this, and I am very genuinely curious. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 40-day boycott of Target begins this week. Here's what Wisconsinites should know about it. And I had been seeing this on social media at least the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. Yes. That this was coming. And I am curious, do you take part in boycotts like this? Do you think it's effective?
Yeah.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to weigh in on this. A 40-day Target boycott kicked off on Wednesday, protesting Target rolling back its DEI initiatives just after a nationwide 24-hour economic blackout of major companies, several including Walmart, Lowe's, and Meta, have reversed their DEI initiatives in recent months. Mm-hmm. Some had already been rolling back efforts even before Donald Trump got back in office. This latest boycott has been organized by a pastor in Atlanta and other faith leaders. They're telling consumers not to buy anything from Target for 40 days, also the duration of Lent, which began with Ash Wednesday on Wednesday. The website, according to the initiative's website, it's also asking people who are invested to sell any Target stock that you might own. Do you think this is effective? Do you think this makes a difference to these companies?
I think one day when they do the blackout days,
the one day blackout.
I don't know, because honestly, like, I think what happens is a lot of people, they might say, yeah, I'm not going to do it. And then within the week, they'll go to one of these places because they're so many of them. They're so much ingrained into our lives. And with a 40, and my fear, and you want to boycott, boycott. And I understand why. I believe in DEI, and I'm going to post a Forbes article that lists all the companies. So if it's Target, then you should be including all the other ones, which include things like Disney.
Right.
Let's say 40 days happens. There's a boycott. It causes a great deal of strife for the company. It, you know, stock prices tank. Things happen. My only fear is that the adjustments they're going to have to make are going to affect the people at the bottom. They're not going to be adjusting the CEO's salary. They're not going to be firing high up executives. They're going to be, you know, freezing, maybe doing hiring freezes, maybe doing wage increase, like raise freezes, or just letting go of employees. That's not to tell you to do it or not do it. That is just my fear with a boycott like this. What are the repercussions and who really
is affected?
You know, it's not Stephen J. Target in Minnesota. It's the lady who works at Target in Hibbing, Minnesota, who's doing this as a supplementary job to pay for, I don't know, her medical supplies.
That's a good point, because there will be fallout from this. And as you say, it just seems like it's a rarity when CEOs say, you know what, I'm going to take a pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take a pay cut. Yeah, I'm trying to think, has that ever happened?
I don't think so.
855-752-4842. Boycotts, do they work? Do you take part? What do you think about that? Sue from Franklin, we took part last Friday. Any information on the impact of that day? I don't have it at the tip of my fingertips, Sue. I will take a look for it. Brian from Milwaukee texting in, yes, I do take part in boycotts. It's another form of protest to let our voices be heard. I guess the one thing I think about this, though, is you need to have a certain amount of economic stability in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You need to be in a certain place financially where you can choose to skip these places and go somewhere else. And not everybody has that flexibility.
Well, like if I'm not going to Target, I can go to if it's a Target blackout, I can go to Amazon. If it's I'm looking at a Walmart blackout, I'll go to Pick and Save for groceries. I mean, this is not to say there isn't validity in having these sorts of actions happening. I think actions are important, but what about the afterward? What about a year from now?
Right.
What about, you know, winter of 2026 after this has all happened? Where will we be? What has been accomplished? And if it's good, then how do you do more then? How does it grow this into something bigger to really tell these corporations something? Because I'm all for it. I'm all for telling corporations, hey, there's more of us than there are of you. But we tend to, as a people in this country, to say, raise our fists in the air. And then in a week, 2 weeks, a month, 6 months, I got to run to Target really quick.
It's inconvenient.
It's inconvenient. Oh, remember we did that thing? Oh, my gosh, that was so cool. But then you're going back there because you need something. And it's like, well, I need it. I got to go to Walmart because there's a thing there and I know exactly what I'm running late. Understandable. We're all busy. So I guess for me, I would love to know the plan. The whole plan.
The long-term plan.
Exactly.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about this 40-day boycott of Target that began on Wednesday. If you're on social media, and I think most of us are in some form or another, you have probably seen this kicked around. Also, Amazon is the next one that is also being slated. The People's Union expanding its boycott to include boycotts of Amazon, mm-hmm, March 7th through the 14th. Nestle, March 21st through the 28th, and Walmart, April 7th through the 14th, and a second broader one-day economic blackout is slated for April 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, if not everyone is going to be aware of this, not everyone's going to be able to take part in this, and again, I go back to people who are on the lower end of the financial scale. They just don't have the option. Walmart is probably the place to go for mostly the cheapest that you can find.
A gallon of milk right now, Walmart in Wisconsin is the cheapest place to find a gallon of milk. So I understand if some people can't take part, or they say, look, my family eating is more important than anything else.
They're making a statement.
And I don't want to harsh anyone's mellow or getting anyone's buzz on, like, sticking it to the man. But, like, for me personally, there has to be a long-term plan. Like, what's next after you boycott Target for 40 days?
For 40 days, then what?
What are they going to do in, I don't want to say retaliation, but what is going to be their next step if they lose significant market share or if they lose a lot of money or whatever that may be? Because it ain't going to be the CEO who's in trouble.
That's a really good point, Greg. It is. That's an excellent point. And if they lose enough money over these 40 days, do we want to see Targets closing? And all of the people who work at that Target that are negatively affected. Mary from Tosa texting in, kudos to Costco for its support of DEI. Absolutely. The boycott of Target and like companies gives people an opportunity to protest. And I know that I think Costco's membership has jumped quite considerably since this all came down.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because they kept their, they very specifically told their shareholders, we're not getting rid of our DEI.
I thought you meant their, the cost of their membership.
Oh, no, like, no.
Oh, no. I mean, that's the thing is Costco is legendary for their takes. Their CEO, the former CEO, he is a fireball of energy and human. I mean, like just the hot dog. Let's look up Costco hot dog price range, and it's a story that I can't repeat on the air.
Oh, my.
But it was them just being vehemently in favor of, you know, promoting from inside, education, helping the people, giving back when they can, and doing things like this, like DEI, which is, you know, it ain't the devil. It ain't the devil, folks.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join our conversation. Robert from West Allis, I take part. I haven't shopped at Walmart, Hobby Lobby, or Chick-fil-A for years. Yes. Robert West Allis, though, I won't stop shopping at Target. They're the only real competition to Amazon.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Understandable completely.
Yeah.
I don't shop at Walmart. I think in the past, I think in maybe the past 20 years, I've shopped there twice. I don't go, well, Hobby Lobby, I don't need to go to. And let Chick-fil-A. Me just say, and on a personal, Chick-fil-A, overrated. It's fine.
Thank you. I went there once. It's a chicken sandwich. Yeah, it's a fine chicken sandwich.
It's fine in a pinch, but man, there doesn't need to be two drive-through lines, and there don't need to be 50 cars and an army of people outside taking orders. It's a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I expected the first time that I went to Chick-fil-A that it was going to like be the chicken sandwich that changed the course of my life. That didn't happen. Maybe I need another one.
They just don't want to make sure that the gays can get married. So.
Well, it's priorities. Yeah. Anne from Chippewa Falls, I see you on the line. We are up against the break. We will take you when we return. Boycotts, yes or no, do they work? Will you take part? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Officials in Little Chute have removed more than 90 dead ducks from a storm pond, the likely culprit, bird flu. That comes after hundreds of rare red-breasted mergansers were found either dead or sick along Lake Michigan. Meantime, Wisconsin will start sampling milk at dairy farms to test for the virus. Fears that protections for our Great Lakes and more will be on the chopping block after EPA Director Lee Zeldin announced plans to cut the agency by 65%. The EPA oversees bedrock safeguards like the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Clean Air Act. It's unclear how those protections will remain enforced if deep cuts happen. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, we're going to talk about don't call us. We don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Some lawmakers not happy their constituents are checking in with them.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. We'll kick that around after the 10:30 news. Right now, though, we are talking about this nationwide boycott of Target. A 40-day Target boycott kicked off on Wednesday to protest the company rolling back its DEI programs. And our question to you is, will you take part in this? Do you think it's effective or do you not care? Don't think it makes any difference. Does it matter? Does it affect these companies eventually?
What would you like to see come out of this?
Absolutely. Ann from Chippewa Falls has been very patient waiting to get on the line here. Good morning, Ann. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Yes, I do participate in those blackouts, but I basically buy local. Like I'll buy from the food co-ops or I'll buy from Woodman's because it's employee-owned. But my daughter works for Target. She's a packaging engineer there. And that kind of scares me because she's a new employee. And, you know, they're going to probably cut those people, not the people that really need to be cut,
yeah.
Like the big CEOs that are making a ton of money. So yeah. I'm kind of with Greg on that. I just don't know if it's going to hurt the working people or it really will hurt the CEOs. That's
yeah.
kind of where I stand with it.
That's a great point, and it really is, and I think that's a very valid point.
Yeah.
As far as who's gonna bear the fallout of this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because again, I am waiting for the day when I see a CEO stand up in front of a microphone and say, "You know what, you guys, really, I'm getting paid way too much."
I'm waiting for the day where a CEO or higher up employees, executives. Are fired without a golden parachute. That's the thing, too. It's like
when they do a lousy job.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's your parting gift on the way out.
I don't want to see people lose money. I don't want to see people lose jobs. I don't want to see Ann's daughter lose her job if she's the new person on the shift. And I think that it's important to raise your voice. I just, you know, I just feel like such a stick in the mud for this. But I want to see an action plan beyond 40 days. I want to see what's the... You know, are you trying to get them to reinstate DEI? If that's the case, all right, great. If they do that, then, you know, you call.
But what is your end goal?
Yeah.
What's the end goal?
What is the end goal? Like, that is, you know, because I just have a feeling, call me whatever you'd like, and people have called me many things, Target can outweigh you.
I think they have enough in reserves.
Yeah, they're very popular. They're kind of all over the place.
Christine from Slinger, listening on WAUK, texting in, "Hi, Jane and Greg, go to a protest. Listen to the people there. They are angry, scared, and feel helpless." I understand that, Christine.
Absolutely.
But again, I guess our question is this effective what do we want to see happen from this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How is this is me asking it in the most respectful, innocent way. How is a blackout going to quell the anger, the fear that people at the protests feel? Because I'm an American living in this country too, and I don't own a giant boat. I don't have influence in Congress. I'm nervous about what's happening every day in this country. And what I think is that we as a people need to raise our voices when we can, but we also need to raise our voices at our leadership. And right now, our leadership, whether it's on the right or the left, whether it's on the right, just lockstep with the current president, or it's the left who is consistently letting the people down with ping pong paddles and signs.
And there's a lot of disagreement about that, too.
Yes.
On how the Democrats should be handling all of this.
Exactly. So I guess my point is like we can raise our voices and keep our dollars away from these companies, but we also still need to be raising our voices at the people who make the laws that affect us.
And we're going to talk about that after the 10:30 news.
Yeah.
Joshua from Wausau listening on WXCO. My 13-year-old daughter loves Chick-fil-A. One of their mobile trucks came to Wausau recently. It was about 20 degrees. I said to a woman next to me, I can't believe we're standing out here for a chicken sandwich. And she said to me, yes, but it's the Lord's chicken.
Ugh.
I guess I never took that into account.
The Lord is a chicken coop? Oh, my gosh. How much are his eggs?
855-752-4842. We're talking boycotts. Do they work? Is this effective? And what should the end goal be? Eric from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Eric. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, I think you want to send a message. You don't want to be one of those people standing on the sidelines where people are trying to do something to fight back. And you say, well, I don't know. I mean, the point you made before, they have a lot in reserves. If they start to see dips in the number of people that are shopping there, I'm sure they'll make adjustments. But, you know, these are the people that are starting to fight back now. We all complain about the Democrats doing nothing. Here is somebody doing something. Don't just stand on the sideline, be lily-livered. You know, say, okay, you know, let's do this. There are other places you can go. You know, I think we're just so coddled in this country sometimes. It's like a minor inconvenience. Let's shop someplace else for a couple of weeks, and let's see if it has an impact. Maybe it will work. Maybe it won't. But don't just stand on the sidelines and criticize the people that are doing something. That's my take.
Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you very much. People are very frustrated and angry and frightened, as Christine pointed out, and they want to do something. Mm-hmm. They want to put this energy and this fear and this frustration into some direction.
Yeah.
And I totally get that.
I absolutely get it, too. I absolutely get it. I just, for me, if it's about getting these companies to reinstate DEI programs, that's great. I believe in DEI programs. I think they're important. I don't think there's nothing evil about them. Sorry, Robin Voss. But the point is for me, these, I still have questions, and I still have concerns about them. So once again, I concur. I agree. I support all those things, but we need to answer those questions as well, because if Target loses, if Walmart, whatnot, they can take it out on their employees.
We have news coming up next when we return. Don't call us. We're going to ignore you. That's on the way. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Somebody ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door. Let them in.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For
WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany has reintroduced legislation to eliminate most renewable energy subsidies for solar and wind energy projects on farms. The bill, titled the Future Agricultural Retention and Management Act, would prevent taxpayer funding from being used to encourage developers to use those power sources instead of others. The legislation would not outright prevent developers from building wind turbines or solar panels. Tiffany says the legislation is meant to protect agricultural land for future generations. A bill that would give incumbent transmission facility owners the right to construct, own, and maintain new transmission projects got a joint hearing in the Wisconsin State Legislature this week. The Wisconsin Senate Utilities and Tourism Committee and the State Assembly Energy and Utilities Committee held a joint hearing on the measure Tuesday. The legislation is being proposed in an effort to give the state more authority over power grid decisions. Those projects would still need to be approved by the Midwest Independent System Operator. Health experts are warning of another tough flu season in Wisconsin next year following a canceled FDA meeting. The agency recently announced the cancellation of its meeting with the Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. The meeting typically sees a committee of independent experts make recommendations about which strains of the flu to target the following winter, so mass production of those vaccines can begin before the flu season starts. Wisconsin saw an uptick in respiratory viruses this winter amid lower vaccination rates. The Boaz Boosters 4-H Club will host a Euchre card party Saturday night at 7 at the Boaz Community Center. There will be a $5 entry fee with prizes awarded. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders fans who are looking for closure from the upcoming Peaky Blinders movie will not get it. Franchise creator Stephen Knight says Peaky Blinders will continue after the movie has been released, but was not specific as to whether it would be TV or film. In the upcoming movie, the Peaky Blinders gang does battle with Nazis. Netflix has not yet given a release date for the Peaky Blinders movie. Typically, when someone writes a movie, they are looking for creative and ideally financial gain. Rarely does citizenship come into play as a reward, but it did for Jesse Eisenberg, the writer of the movie A Real Pain. The Polish government granted Jesse citizenship for writing the film set in Poland, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Nice to have a place to weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Spotty rain this afternoon gives way to sun before sunset. And high temperatures still climbing rather mild to the low 40s. We warm things up even more tomorrow into the mid-40s, so it'll become breezy. And those winds shove us to the mid-50s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by the University of Wisconsin-Madison Professor Yoshiko Herrera to discuss the evolving situation in Ukraine. Are there any silver linings?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After 11 o'clock, Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area, also Civic Media's political editor, and we're going to be talking about the Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know who's running for the Supreme Court.
But they know it's important.
They know it's important, but they just don't know anything about the two candidates.
Exactly.
Here is one way to help you get informed. Seriously, if you are not sure, this is a very, very important race that will affect our economy, reproductive rights, public education. You can join the Protecting Justice for All. This is going to happen next Wednesday, March 12th, at the Overture Center for the Arts in Green Bay. With an in-depth discussion of what is at stake, we'll have expert panels followed by a debate watch party with free food and beverages. If you want to find out more, you can register for free. Sign up to join in person or online. UpNorthNewsWI.com/Supreme. That's UpNorthNewsWI.com/Supreme.
Jane, that's not the only thing that's happening in and around Milwaukee when it comes to elected officials. Our good friend, Mr. Derek Van Orden, is going to be doing a meet and greet on Saturday.
He is?
March the 15th at 5 p.m. at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center, Wisconsin.
Oh, Todd Alba's hometown.
Todd Alba's hometown. And folks, if you want to go, you simply get yourself $40 and you pay for tickets and you contact the GOP there in Richland County and they'll put you on the list. A measly $40
for
the honor, the privilege of seeing Derek Van Orden. You may have seen him in such places like Congress,
outside the Capitol on January 6th.
The staircase of the Capitol yelling at reporters. He's all over the place, folks. He's everywhere. But if you got $40, just burning a hole in your pocket. March the 15th, meet and greet. Phoenix Center in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Get your tickets now before they're gone.
Our elected official. All you have to do is pay to see him.
Exactly.
So nice.
Two Jacksons.
Just
two
80, Jacksons. $80 for two people. Come on.
Oh, that's a date, my friends.
Why not? That's the only time you're ever going to get a chance to see him.
Oh, my gosh. And make sure you ask him lots of questions in rapid succession.
I'm sure that will be really welcomed.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of jumped out at me when I saw this pass along my social media feed yesterday. Swing state Republican prefers people do not call his office. I bet you do.
Yeah.
According to WCPT 820, Representative Bill Huizinga of Michigan is tired of his office phone ringing with calls from angry people who live in Michigan. He's from Michigan. He recently told a Kalamazoo-based CBS affiliate that he, quote, prefers people do not call his office, unquote. That should be put on a plaque and distributed to many, many, many of our lawmakers.
We'd rather you not call. Yeah.
Or, yes, call us. We'll ignore you.
Yeah. Leave a message at the tone.
Mr. Huizinga, elected Republican for Michigan.
That's not a real last name. Come on.
He prefers constituents go through his website. Don't call his office. Go to his website. And to be fair, they want people's addresses to be legitimized to confirm this is coming from people who live, who are his constituents. Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
They genuinely do not care if people from Wisconsin are ticked off in Michigan.
Gotcha.
Right?
Well, no, they're going to pay more attention to
one would hope.
That's absolutely fine. And I, Jane, just putting it out there, believe in the Civic Media app to bring people the news all across the land. So if there's someone living in, say, Portage, Michigan, or Holland, Michigan, who's represented by Mr. Huizinga, you feel free to call 202-225-4401. Because, frankly, we've all gone to websites that say contact me. you sent it into the vacuum of that website.
Into the black hole.
Nothing else happened. Yeah. No, sir. You are responsible for listening to your constituents. Actually, your interns are actually.
Yeah.
You're not the ones answering the phones.
And I think it's important that we remind folks of that, too, because we always encourage people to call.
Absolutely.
Our elected representatives here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
If you want to bother somebody else out of state, you can do that. But again, they're going to kind of discount you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would prefer to see us keep our energies focused in Wisconsin or wherever you live, wherever you're listening to Civic Media.
Exactly. And if you live and you're represented by him, I mean, I've got the website right here. It's contact information. There's three phone numbers. It's great.
Yeah. So at least in this case, Representative Bill Huizenga of Michigan, he would prefer people not call his office. So that, because I'm a bad person, if I lived in Michigan and I were his constituent, that would kind of encourage me to call his office.
Oh, absolutely. I would call and be like, hey, is Bill there? I just wondering, is everything okay?
I'm worried.
Yeah.
We're worried about Representative Huizenga.
I'm very worried about Representative Huizenga. Is Doge there? Are they like... Are they there trying to cut jobs there, too? I'm just trying to figure out. How you doing, Bill?
Yeah, I hope he still has his job.
So if you live in the western part of South Michigan, the 4th District, give a call.
Call him and let him know you're concerned.
Exactly.
855-752-4842.
That's our number.
Cornell from Merrill is on the line. Good morning, Cornell. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Thank you for taking my call. Well, the Shimmer ads, what I'm upset about is why are they using sheriffs? He's using sheriffs in his ads. I really don't think that's right because the sheriffs are paid by the taxpayers.
I'm pretty sure, Cornell, they're not supposed to do that. You're talking about Brad Schimmel being surrounded by law enforcement officers in uniform. I'm fairly certain no one is supposed to do that, but... And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Susan Crawford has also done that.
Yeah, I don't think...
And I think that standard, as so many, that standard's been thrown out the window.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan Schaefer put it best a couple weeks ago. It's nonpartisan in name only. I will mention, though, when it comes to the Brad Schimmel ads with the law enforcement officers, if you look it up, one of those law enforcement officers is in some hot water. And the Schimmel ad has not come down. That guy's still standing next to him. So,
but again, that takes another level of people being willing to research it further.
Yeah.
And as we found out from this Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday that we're going to talk more about with Dan Schaefer, a lot of people don't even know who these two people are, Brad Schimmel or Susan Crawford.
Yeah.
So expecting them to go that extra mile to look into who's endorsing these candidates and find out more of their backgrounds, that's a big ask.
But that is where we ask the listeners right now, and Jane brought it up yesterday, and we've talked about it in the past. Have a conversation with your friends. Share what you know. I don't expect anyone to vote for a person because we're saying we like them or dislike them. All I'm saying is what we're doing here right now is giving you information and context. Take this information, talk to your friends, help them make a best informed decision for themselves that works with their politics. If your politics are what Brad Schimmel is pushing, then I understand. I get it. I don't like it. But share what you know. Talk to your friends. It makes a huge difference.
It really does. 855-752-4842. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us. What have you got?
Well, I got to thank you guys for heightening the awareness of calling your elected officials. I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
And I had one, I don't know, I think it might have been Robin Boss. He had an intern that answered the phone, and we had a decent discussion.
Okay.
I couldn't believe that they went, you know, have... Now, whether that got Robin or not, I care less. The point is, the more we challenge these people, including you were talking about Brad Shifty Schimmel, if we call his offices for election and say, well, what about this? What about this baggage that Brad carries with him? Would you like to comment on it? That gets back to people. That gets back to, we're getting all this negative stuff, even on the campaign. You guys have shown Wisconsin This is how we deal with this insanity. I had a guy call me just this today, a big Republican. He says, well, how do you like things now? And I said, I tell you what, I got a 32-ounce Slurpee, a tub of popcorn, and I'm watching your chaos every day. It's enlightening.
What did he say to that? What did he say to that, Bill?
He hung up.
The
phone slammed down so hard, I thought there were particles in my ears.
Bill, thank you very much for those kind words. We really appreciate it. Because, you know, we can't see all your faces. We don't know everyone we're talking to, and we're hoping that we're at the very least of it all, getting through to people that being informed is important, and then sharing that information with others is important. Beyond that, it's kind of up to y'all, and we hope that you get out there and vote and talk to people and show them how this from the DPI race to the judges race for the Supreme Court to questions on the Constitution of Wisconsin to Senate to Congress, it all affects you, especially those aldermanic and county supervisors.
Absolutely. It's all really important. And I know we're all tired of hearing that. And it's the most important election of our lifetimes.
Sometimes I'm tired of saying it,
yeah,
Jane.
But it is.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Talking about, don't call us. We're going to ignore you. Mm-hmm. Swing state Republican in Michigan, Representative Bill Huizenga, is tired of his office phone ringing with calls from angry Michiganders. He quotes, prefers people do not call his office, unquote. Again, there is validity to that. If they are inundated with people who are not their constituents, they're going to discount those.
Yeah.
And so he wants people to go to his website so they can check your address and make sure you're a constituent. And I get that.
Yeah.
But I still find some warped, twisted pleasure in the fact that we all have phones. It's tempting. I almost did yesterday. I almost called a Democratic lawmaker in Florida.
I mean, okay.
But it's like, you know, again, he doesn't have to respond to me. He doesn't care.
He doesn't have to respond to you, but if you're going to take the time to call an elected official in another state, another district, there is, you're showing your concern to, like, you're reaching out to them for a reason, and you're showing their concern, and they can't help you because they don't rep you, but they can listen to your point.
Well, and Bill just said, I mean, even here in Wisconsin, I actually had a very good conversation with, again, these are primarily interns, lower-level people who are answering these phones, which is why we always ask you to be respectful and don't swear and don't curse at these kids.
Yeah. Nope.
They're on the front lines, but they're not the ones who are making these decisions. So please be nice. And if you are inspired, say, to call, you can also go to myvote.wi.gov, and all you have to do is put in your address, and all of the elected officials who represent you come up, and their phone numbers.
Yep.
It's nice.
It's convenient.
It is convenient. So even if they don't want to hear from us, we want you to hear from us.
I am a public servant. Who don't you want calling? I don't want the public calling
and
me.
And don't forget, and I'm thinking about this, next Saturday, meet and greet with Derek Van Orden.
Ooh.
Going to cost you $40 per person, but oh, I think it could be so worth it. We'll include this in our show notes in case you would like to go. It could be fun. Let's have a group.
I want to get a bunch of Marxist agitators and pay them to protest, because that's what I do. I pay protesters. I'm like the George Soros of Kenosha.
All that money. When we return, Elon's rocket goes boom again. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. If you got the app, we're global. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
News from the Center, WRCE.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we came to break, we were talking about contacting our elected officials and letting them know what you think. And I had forgotten about this until Sue from Franklin texted it in. And thank you so much for reminding me. If you would like to call one of your representatives and you feel like you get a little tongue-tied and you don't want to be that way, there's an app called Five Calls. And my sister Suzanne had talked about this not too long ago. And they actually provide scripts for you.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a call and you don't feel maybe like you're going to, a lot of people, you get nervous, you know, you have a lot of points you want to make and then you get excited or you get nervous and you might forget. So this is a resource that you may want to check out. We can include this in our show notes after the show is over. The app is called Five Calls. If you would like to contact one of your representatives. And again, we do encourage you to be respectful.
Absolutely. Always be respectful, please.
Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks so much for joining us. What's going on?
Hi. I have three quick points to make. The first point is when I'm talking to family members or my grandkids especially, I try to make sure that they're informed about the candidate and make sure that they remember to vote. I mean, I always tell them, I can't tell you how to vote, but here's what I know about each person.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And I do that with anybody I talk to. And then also I've made several calls to representatives here in Wisconsin. I've had a real good response from one and a real bad response from another. I'll talk about the good bad response first. I called Ron Johnson's office and first got on with a very nice lady, and we were having a conversation, and she started talking about, well, the people voted for him, that he has a mandate. And I said, well, I don't think the people voted for Elon Musk. And right then and there, her phone clicked.
She hung up on you?
Hung up on me.
What?
Well, I thought so. No, I thought so, but within seconds, a gentleman came on the phone. And I use that lightly, believe me, because he was the rudest, most condescending person to me that I have ever met in my whole 70-some year life. He first off said, well, you're a Democrat. And I said, first off, you have no idea who I voted for.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I am a Wisconsin voter, and that's all I've said. And I said, you know, we voted for people voted for more than just Trump. And nowhere, he said, well, he had a mandate. And I said, well, nowhere in his election campaigns that I saw did it say that he was going to have Elon Musk as his co-president.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ali. Appreciate it. And I'm sorry that you had that experience. That's really shameful.
I mean, really, when it comes down to it, it sounds like the person she talked to was, in fact, Ron Johnson. Because that's honestly what Ron Johnson does. He steals the narrative. He steps on people's voices and he says, you're a Democrat. You don't know what you're talking about. That's a constituent.
What? Aren't they supposed to be there for all of us? Even if we didn't vote for you, you still represent the state that we all live in.
Yeah.
Are you only addressing concerns from Republicans?
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't seem very American to me. And I want George on the live stream. George on the live stream says, how about this concept? We elect folks and let them do what they do and not micromanage them. I don't know. Is calling our elected representatives and expressing our unhappiness with their job, that's micromanaging?
I don't know. Tell me if this sounds like micromanaging. You have your little minion bros send out emails to all federal employees saying, what is five things you did this week? Tell me that's not micromanaging. As you say, change my mind.
That's our right as a citizen.
Yeah.
Is to contact our elected representatives and let them know whether or not we think they're doing a good job.
This guy in the live stream sounds like he doesn't like freedom.
I don't know. Just makes me kind of want to make calls.
Also, to counteract Mr. Guy, Elon is not their boss. Elon's not in charge of them. Elon's not in charge of the federal employees.
He's no,
not at all.
From what Donald Trump has said, he's not even in charge of Doge.
Yeah, he's an unelected dude with a chainsaw and other problems. So nice try. I wish you believed in freedom, George.
We will include the five calls link in our show notes. You can always go to civicmedia.us after the show is over. Click on shows. Go to Matt Nair on air and look for today's program.
Yeah.
Coming up, we have the news on the way. Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area and Civic Media's political editors. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a bar band Friday night, and that means our pal Terry Barr will be by with new music and fun conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A judge ruling that Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency should be allowed access to sensitive data from the Treasury Department. President Trump getting ready to talk about the economy as stocks struggle to rebound from 3 days in solidly negative territory. The Labor Department releasing the new jobs report out today. It shows 151,000 jobs were created last month.
We did lose 10,000 federal workers last month. But, you know, this report doesn't give us a full picture of the unemployment report. The data is collected mid-February, so it doesn't really reflect all of the federal layoffs that we saw under the Trump administration.
ABC's Alexis Christophorus. Daylight saving time kicks off this weekend. A lot of doctors grumbling about it. They say science shows that our bodies never really fully adjust. Sheriff's officials in Santa Fe, New Mexico, are expected to brief reporters today about the death of Gene Hackman and his wife, their bodies discovered last week. This is ABC News.